Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebe.
Let's go. Let's get it on. Oh, Peters.
Oh, we've got a fight. Thornton and Rebe are exchanging punches.
And now, The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right. Hard to believe. It starts tonight. Hockey's back. 116 straight days of hockey. Can you handle it? Can you handle the truth? Instigators, WGR Sports Radio 550, this gorgeous Wednesday. Rob Ray joins us for the whole 2 hours. And lots to talk about today. Opening night lineup. That is going to be topic of conversation a lot today. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Your thoughts on the opening night lineup. We're going to talk about the difficulty of this division the Sabres are in. I was checking out the NHL Network this morning, and they featured the division, saying the Sabres some props. We'll talk about that. How tough is the division? And are you as worried as I am? At 10:30, I'm going to tell you guys what I am, how would I word it here. I guess I'd say my biggest letdown already about this Sabres season. I'll tell you what that is at 10:30. You guys can help me discuss that, and I'll lie on the sofa and you guys can be my shrinks for that one. And John Liu from TSN Montreal is going to join us at 11:10. Find out how difficult Riv was to deal with as a player in the media. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome.
How are we doing today? I just want to give a shout out to the Spectrum guy who came over to my house today and fixed up my internet nicely. And I really appreciate the time that he spent here this morning. So
I'm sorry, Riv, you cut out there.
Yeah, good one. Nice, Petey. Nice. I deserve that. But you know what? I'll tell you, I've had multiple people come over to the house, multiple people trying to fix this problem. And this young man this morning came over here and
why do I feel like it's not even tied to your profession, that it's more tied to making sure that you can tune into all the games that we're going to see?
Yeah, sure. There you go. Yep. That's what it's all about, Petey.
Rob, what's going on with you today? You excited to get back to work?
Yeah, looking forward to it. You know, we've had a lot of lead-up meetings here and with our group, NHL, all that kind of thing in the last few days. So it's kind of getting you in that frame of mind of thinking, yeah, it's time to go. But it'll be different. It's going to be a lot different. I got to admit it. When we get down there, I'll be in one booth, RJ will be in another booth, you know, Duffer and Marty are somewhere else. That it's going to be weird. It's going to be weird, and it's going to take some getting used to.
Will it be weird for you, just with no fans there?
Yeah. You know what? I know that the other night they piped on the fan sound and everything that was coming out through, and we live streamed it. But it's still different, you know. It's almost like when you're pumping in the building, it's hard, not hard to hear, but it's kind of, what's going on? What is that type thing? You know, when you're doing the game, it's a lot different than the actual fan. And, you know, I think the big thing is too, you're sitting there and even us being up top in the first game when they did not have any type of noise in the building other than music periodically, you could actually hear what was going on in the benches. Like, you could hear the coaches talking to the players. You could hear, you know, the players saying things, and this kind of just drowns that out a little bit. So it might actually be better just to hear the hear the coaches and see what they have to say. But in another way, it's this way, it keeps whatever they're saying a little more secret.
Instigators, WGR Sports Radio 550. Hockey's back tonight. Yeah. Lots of games in action. We'll preview that a little bit later. As I mentioned, John Liu from Montreal TSN will join us at 11:10. Find out what's going on up there north of the border and how hard that division's going to be. And our rival Maple Leafs, they play tonight, Montreal, Toronto. Some injuries to report on the Sabres, Oposo and Lazar day-to-day. I think that might alter or will alter, depending on whether or not they're back in time, what the opening night roster is going to look like. Does this ensure that Dylan Cousins is in that opening night lineup for you guys?
Well, I think he would have been in the lineup regardless. That's for sure. Even if Lazar and Oposo were healthy, Dylan Cousins, I think, is ready for the National Hockey League, ready to show that he can step in. Is it going to be easy for him? No, it's going to take some time to get used to the pace, the size, the speed, everything. It's a lot different than just going into a training camp. But Dylan Cousins has showed that he's matured. He played very well at the World Juniors, which I know it is not NHL hockey. It's nowhere near NHL hockey. But that being said, he was one of the focal points at the World Juniors this year for Canada, played exceptionally well. And like I said, probably a week or two ago, and I think that you agreed with me, Petey, that if the team chose to slow play Dylan Cousins, I wouldn't have a problem with that either. You know, he's a young player, and if they wanted to kind of give him time to really feel comfortable, get acclimated here in Buffalo, get a large number of practices and systems under his belt. But it looks like he's going to be ready to rock and roll in the first game.
I'm going to go the other way, Rivs. I don't think he might have been in for opening.
Really?
I think that when you talk about the slow play with this kid, I think that might have been the move that they might have been looking at. And you're looking at your four lines right now. You take, you know, if you leave Kyle in and you leave Curtis in, you know what, Ralph has talked about how important it is to get off to a good start, and he's talked about how important experience is and all this kind of thing. I just think at the beginning he might have just gone with as much experience as he had and then found a way to work the guy in. So I'm just saying, just my thought that opening
and night. And listen, I agree with you, Rob. I agree with you.
Saying, I just don't think from day one it was sitting there and saying, hey, no, he's going to be in our opening lineup that opening night.
Yeah, I think we had that discussion, didn't we, with Marty Petey? We had that discussion, what, 2 weeks ago or, you know.
It was a week ago yesterday. How could we forget?
Yeah, a week ago yesterday we had that discussion.
It was a very heated conversation. One for the record books.
And you know what? I respect both opinions. I respect Marty's opinion. I think Dylan Cousins is a fantastic hockey player. He's shown that he has really grown in his game. He dominated the Western Hockey League last year, went to the World Juniors this year, and was one of the top players in the tournament. Can he play in the NHL? My belief is yes. He is ready for the NHL. But my thought, and I think that you agreed with me when we were arguing with Marty, is I feel there's no rush to rush Dylan Cousins onto this team and put him in a position where he's got all this pressure and limelight all over him. I think it's okay with allowing this kid to start to feel real comfortable in his surroundings, you know, get used to the city, get used to the players, get used to the Buffalo system, and how they work, how hard they work off the ice training, and then incorporate him into games. But it seems like that is going to be pushed to the wayside because right now you're dealing with a few injuries already.
10:30. I'm going to tell everybody here what my only letdown is about this Sabres season. My only letdown already, and there's nothing we can do about it. So I'll tell you what that is at 10:30. But right now we're talking Sabres lineup. We're going to talk about the difficulty of the division they're in. But the same can't be said for Tage Thompson as Dylan Cousins. And he's playing on a line now and getting an opportunity to play with Jack and Taylor Hall. And you know, Razor, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Not as much as I would have liked, but a little bit yesterday. And I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. You were at the scrimmage the other day. Craig has been very outspoken about an opportunity for Tage Thompson on a line with Jack and Taylor Hall. So how did he look, and what are your expectations?
I liked him. I liked it a lot. It started off the very first shift they got out there. They had opportunity and good puck possession. And what I liked with Tage was, especially early, it might have changed a little bit as he's going on, but he didn't try to do too much. And I think he understands who he's with. And I think a lot of times you put guys with that and they go, well, these two guys I'm with, I got to kind of match what they do. And that's the farthest thing from the truth. When you're with two guys like Hall and Eichel, you want to get them the puck. You want to open lanes for them. You want to go to all the areas that they don't want to go or need to go. And I think Tage did an excellent job of that. He held on the puck long enough where he attracted attention, drew guys to him, and then was skilled enough to be able to make that pass, make the movement of the puck, whether it was to the D or to Jack or Taylor, that gave them those opportunities. So, and I think as the game went on, he started doing a little bit more. But I think if he just kind of controls himself and realizes what his limitations are and what he needs to do, then he did great. And I think it was amazing, even on his own team playing and everybody knows everything about him, the attention that he attracted when he had the puck because of what he's able to do with it. For a big man, he's got real nice hands in tight. He brings the puck into his feet. He's got nice little soft hands that he can dish. He started shooting the puck a little bit there that everybody else wanted to see because he's got a fantastic shot, but this kid earned it. He the first night he went out, he did it. Obviously, in practice, he's impressed. They gave him a shot, and you know, it's something that it's in his court now. So, but I think, as you guys said, him being out, him being through what he's had to go through, and the experiences he's had so far in his early career, I think he understands a little more the opportunity he's getting, and I think and hope that he makes the most of it.
You know, one thing I when I look at the lineup now, and I was, like I said, yeah, I was tuning into the NHL Network this morning and they were featuring the East Division. And I was looking at the Sabres lineup and I'm thinking, you know, at some point, at least, you know, in the mindset of an 82-game season, 56 games is going to be very interesting to see how any team's going to juggle lines and handle injuries and illness and things like that. But one of the things I looked at, if a line isn't working for the Sabres, like let's say the top line isn't working, whether it's Hall or Eichel, well, Eichel's always going to be your top line center, but look at the pieces you can interchange. Like we already know what last year's line did. So if for some reason Ralph Kruger needs to shake things up, he can very easily, he puts Taylor Hall with Eric Staal and Tage Thompson or whoever else. And you can move Reinhart and Olofsson back with Jack if you want to try to rekindle that synergy if you're looking for a little bit of a shakeup. Do we see that happening at all?
And you know what else? It might not even be Eichel and Hall that have the chemistry that we all hope. And that might be something that may be split up before anything else or anything. Because you can always drop down Taylor Hall to play with Eric Staal and make that shift and put, you know, Jack's line back together. So, yeah, there's plenty of options. And I think that even though they might be going okay, I think because of the schedule and playing the back-to-backs and playing teams so often, that you may do it not because it's not working, just to give the opposition a different look every night and try to bring something different to the table. But I think right now Ralph realizes that, say he does have to do that, he's got a little more confidence now that it'll work because he's got more options. Like, even if you take Tage off that line, you got Sam you could play there. You know, Jeff Skinner you can play there. You know, there's anybody that you want to put back on that line.
You can play Olofsson on the right Olofsson, or left.
You know, you could switch Jack back to Sam and Olofsson for a game and throw Eric Staal in the middle of Taylor Hall and Tage Thompson. Just something like that. It gives a total different look for the opposition. Go, all right, oh, well, this is different. This is something different that we got to plan for.
And so guess what?
The options and the opportunities that has opened up for Ralph now and his coaching staff could be almost endless because of what you have to work with.
And you're going to see that. Don't think that you're not going to see it. Don't think right now that you're going to see Jack Eichel, Taylor Hall, Tage Thompson for the next 56 games.
No.
You will most likely see some movement throughout the lineups. Sometimes you need a little spark. You need a little change. And, you know, there are some players on this team that you can move around the lineup. There really are. And
you don't have to reach down to a third, fourth liner to throw on Jack's line. No offense. I know we don't number lines. I'm speaking about caliber of players. Every player, if they're honest with themselves, knows their role. So like, you don't have to go and say, we're going to try Larson tonight or try Gergensen tonight on that line. Then try it. No, you can actually put bona fide players that should be playing in those spots and you can rotate them around and have different looks.
Yep. Well, again, you know, we're looking at, you know, we talked earlier about a very young Dylan Cousins, very green, hasn't played in the NHL before. The Dylan Cousins that we're going to see in you know, 1 to 25, the game number 1 to 25, you're going to have a certain Dylan Cousins. But we hope that we're going to see a different Dylan Cousins the second part of the season. And if that's the case, can you take a Dylan Cousins and move him up the lineup because he's felt the speed, he's more accustomed to who he's playing against, understands how to play a little bit better, and now all of a sudden you could take a very, very skilled young player, move him up in the lineup, and once you do that, now all of a sudden you're moving maybe players down in the lineup, you're strengthening your entire roster.
And you know what? And you got Jeff Skinner right now playing on the fourth grouping. Okay? That's not a bad thing. People may look at it and go, oh, he's demoted to the fourth line. Do you know what this does for Jeff Skinner? It gives him an opportunity to play against not the top defensive line or the second best defensive line every night. He's going to get more opportunity to create offensively. He should stand out when he's out there, whomever he's playing against. And it may be just what the doctor ordered for this guy. And he may all of a sudden realize, man, I don't mind playing on this fourth line because of my competition that I'm playing against each and every night is way better, way easier. And I got guys to play with on my line as the fourth grouping that this works out good. I got nobody checking me. I got nobody, you know, to my skill level that is on this line. And I can just go do my thing.
And we talked about this yesterday. Clearly the coach made some very clear comments about Jeff Skinner. And he has an opportunity. He's going to be playing with two guys that are going to want to give him the puck. Like, he's going to be the guy that those players are going to want to give the puck to. Like, right now it's Shane and Cousins. And I mean, those two guys are going to do the work down low. And Skinner's a guy that likes to pop out in the slot, you know, get between the top of the circle and the dot there. And he likes to let a shot go or get down low to the slot. Like, he's not going to be carrying the puck down the ice, going through two defensemen and then going in on a breakaway and scoring. That's not him.
Even if he does want to hang on to the puck, Petey, the other two guys he's playing with aren't going to be sitting there going, what the hell are you doing not passing me the puck?
They're going to go to the net
because Skinner's
a shooter.
Follow you in behind.
100%.
So he has no pressure. He can do whatever he needs to do and want to do out there when he's playing on that grouping.
But I still think I have more belief that Jeff Skinner will produce if playing with, you know, Eichel.
No, I'm not saying that.
Those guys.
Let's go.
But I mean, he's got to make the most of this situation.
Last year, what did he get? 12 goals?
19 maybe? No. 14 goals? Whatever, something like that. Doesn't matter.
The year before, he never scored a goal in the last 16 games. So he's got, what, 14 goals in the last 82 games? We got to lose.
Yeah. Here's the thing you need to look at. You know, Ralph Kruger's looking at Jeff Skinner to get out of his comfort zone. Jeff Skinner has played his entire career with elite players that know how to get him the puck. Jeff Skinner is a goal scorer. He is a very good goal scorer, but he also is a player that I wouldn't say does minimal on the ice. He just knows where to be in the position to score the goals. That's what he's done throughout his career. Well, now, right now you have Ralph Kruger is putting Jeff Skinner in a position where he is not going to be in a position. Jeff Skinner can't rely on his line mates just to get him the puck. Jeff Skinner's got to change his game a little bit. They need more from Jeff Skinner. He needs to be honest with himself. Am I doing what it takes to be successful, not only individually, but also as a teammate? Okay. Is Jeff Skinner moving his feet the way he needs to? Is Jeff Skinner going into the corners and winning battles and making players around him better? Or is Jeff Skinner reverting back to what he's done throughout his career?
Well, tell everybody why, because I'm with you, but tell everybody why players like that need to do that. Because I think there are people that might hear that and say, well, is that even his job?
Listen, new coach, new style, new philosophy. Right now, Jeff Skinner is being asked, last year in particular, he got taken off of Jack Eichel's line. Jeff Skinner off Jack Eichel's line? Because they felt that a rookie player like Victor Olofsson can go on the first line. They can put Jeff Skinner on the second line. And what does that do? It strengthens the other line.
Yeah, that's Olofsson, what you're trying to do. Olofsson can't come in here and do what he did playing with on another line.
I would agree with that. And I think that what they're trying to do is they're trying to build depth through the Sabres lineup. That's what they're trying to do. They need goal scoring. They need guys to play the right way. And if you play the right way, you are going to play and you're going to get opportunity. And right now, I mean, there's guys that have won jobs. They've won positions. Tate Thompson, who I've talked about for quite some time, he's got a fantastic body. You know, he's 6'6". He's 220 pounds. He skates. He skates exceptionally well for a big man. He's got incredible hands. He's got a world-class shot. He has won a job on the first line. He came into camp and proved to everybody that I am the real deal and I deserve an opportunity. And right passer. Now, underrated everything. He's an underrated everything. What we saw from Tage Thompson years ago when he first came here is completely different than what you're going to see from Tage Thompson 3 years later. And you know what? Tage Thompson earned his position. What did Jeff Skinner earn? Did he come into training camp and blow everybody away?
Doesn't sound like it.
Obviously doesn't sound like it. So right now, Jeff Skinner needs to figure out, what do I need to do to make myself better, but also the players that I'm going to play with better? Jeff Skinner is not going to be on a line with players that can just go out and do things what Jack Eichel did. Jeff Skinner's not going to be in a situation where he played with Eric Staal back in the day, and Eric Staal was an elite superstar. Jeff Skinner's played with very good players. Now Jeff Skinner's in a situation, he's being asked to go out and play hard, do more, and make the players around you better. And he's a good player. Jeff Skinner's a good hockey player.
He is a good hockey player. That's what Craig was saying there. How was Skinner moving out there the other night?
Me?
Are you Rob?
No, I did. I wasn't paying attention to you guys, tell you the truth. Hey, not the way you would expect them to be. and not the way that even at that point in training camp, that there'd already been talks of where he may be positioned, who he might be playing with, and all that kind of thing. You would have thought that he would have gone out and said, hey, this is what I'm all about. This is what I'm all about, okay? The rest, forget it. This is what I can do. And I never got that feeling at any point in the game where he took things by control or took it so serious or got pissed off or anything like that and just went and played hard. I think it was just – it looked to be like just kind of go through the motions, yeah, get through it, and you know, let's move on. So to say he stood out, absolutely not.
All right. Well, we got to go to break. And as I mentioned, 10:30, I'm going to tell you my only letdown about this season, and there's nothing we can do about it. I'll tell you what that is at 10:30. And then also we'll talk about the difficulty of the Sabres division. Now that we're getting closer to seeing what the opening night lineup looks like, we'll talk about defense. But also at 11:10, we'll check in with on the news north of the border up in Canada. What's going on in the North division? We'll check in with John Liu up in Montreal, TSN reporter up there. And he also knows Craig very well. So we'll talk about what it was like dealing with Craig in the media, all the changes there, Craig's golden boy, Josh Anderson. More to come, Instigators, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, welcome back. So I will hold off on what I was going to tell you, my only letdown for the Sabre season this year. It might be obvious, but I'll touch on that in a little bit, because Razor just mentioned Taxi Squad was announced, and it sounds like Jack Quinn is going to stick around and be on the big squad. Can you just say those names again on the Taxi Squad, please, Rob?
Taxi Squad was Asplund, Mittelstadt, Borgen, Davidson, and Jonas Johansson.
Well, I gotta say this, and I don't wanna pour salt in a very fresh, open new wound, but I'm very disappointed that Mittelstadt's not in that he's just not in the lineup. And that's not from the decision standpoint.
Are you disappointed with him, the organization, or him?
No,
himself?
I'm disappointed with him. I expected him to come in and do enough to be different and better than he has been. And I think it should bother him that Jack Quinn is sitting on the main roster. I think it should. I think it should bother him that a guy like Dylan Cousins is there instead of him. I think it should bother him that they need to bring in a guy like Riley Shea in because they're not confident in the job that he might be able to do. That's all I have to say. Like, I mean, I don't have much more to say other than that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think you have to look at it too, that Casey Mittelstadt is a very skilled hockey player. He has a skill set that if he's going to be successful, has to be put in the right situation to be able to succeed. So to bring in Casey Mittelstadt and put him on the fourth line, where he's not going to get the minutes played offensively, he's not going to be put in the right situation.
You don't think he should have beat Tobias Ryder out of a spot in the third line left wing there? You don't think, like, you know, I know that was Zemgus's spot when Zemgus
goes down. No, like, because I think they brought in Tobias Ryder not to be an offensive player. They brought him in to be basically a guy that can kill penalties.
You just said about Jeff Skinner that he's got to play a different way, battles in the corners and things. Shouldn't the same be expected of a kid like Casey Mittelstadt too? Like, you know, we've seen lots of first-round picks, top 10 guys develop into checking line role guys, and they're very successful. Dan Pye is one of them. He's 20th overall. But there are other guys that are first-round picks that are checking line guys. Riley Sheahan's one of them. Curtis Lazar is another one. Zemgus Girgensons is another one. Like,
well, there's a way of looking at this, too. I want to ask one question. Rob, how did Jeff Skinner play throughout his training camp?
The times and the games I watched are uneventful, unimpressive.
Okay. How did Casey Mittelstadt play in those games?
Same.
Okay. The difference is one guy's making $9 million and another guy's making what?
$700 million.
League minimum? You can't take Jeff Skinner out.
I wasn't suggesting taking Jeff Skinner out. I'm just saying I'm disappointed that Casey didn't earn a spot. And I don't think that's an overstatement.
Jeff Skinner earned a spot?
No, but like you said, that's a no-brainer. That's the thing. I mean, that's obvious. Although,
but you talked about Tobias Ryder. I mean, the reality is he got brought in here to be a penalty killer. You have Zemgus Girgensons that ended up getting injured. That's devastating for this team, gentlemen. You want to know why? He was the best penalty killer that we had on the team. That's the reason why they signed Zemgus Girgensons to a 3-year deal for a lot of money. Because we needed him and his services. He gets hurt. They bring in the next guy who fits the identity of what you want. He's a penalty killer. He's going to play with energy, and he's got some skills. You have Casey Mittelstadt. Casey Mittelstadt has to earn a spot on one of the top lines to really be successful, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. But then again, I don't know why he can't play why he's not good enough to play on Eakin's line. Well, like, he is, though. That's the thing. He is good. He's talented.
He's good enough, he's a centerman. I think it's his
talent. What's that, Rob?
Are you saying he's a centerman, Rubes?
I said he's a centerman. He's played center his entire life. So you're going to tell me at age 22 you're going to take this kid, and now you want him to play on the wing?
Well, Sam Reinhart's a better winger than he is a centerman. He was drafted second overall as a centerman. So, yeah.
I just look at Casey as, is he a talent? Yes. I think his compete level just has to go up. Like, his compete level of from back checking to battles along the walls to, you know, coming up with loose pucks. When he's got the puck, yeah, he's talented, and he'll make things happen. But it's all the other stuff he has to put together. I think he's got quicker. He looks like he's leaner, all that kind of part of it. I think he's done a good job. Now he's got to get that compete level up. That's in my eyes.
Instigators, Rob mentioned the taxi squad just at the break there had been announced. Do you want to just say it again, Rob, for everybody if they're just tuning in?
Oh, Asplund, Middlestat, Jonas Johansson, Borgen, and Davidson.
How are we looking on defense, gentlemen?
Not bad.
You liked what you saw in the scrimmage there, Rob? Guys are looking good. Like passes are good. They look sharp.
Yeah. The guy you didn't notice a ton, and I think it might be a good thing, is Brandon Montour. You know, Darlene periodically take the puck, go end-to-end and do his thing. Yoki Haru, I thought, was pretty strong. Colin Miller, I thought, was really good. Jake McCabe, you notice him quite a bit. Ristolainen, you know, it's Raz. There's the most you can do. But I thought Matt Murray showed himself pretty well in that one, too. I thought Matt Murray did what he was supposed to. He stayed at home. He was banged around. He cleared the front of the net. He won those battles. Pretty much all you're going to ask for him for that, dude.
Who?
Matt Irwin.
Matt Irwin. I thought you said Matt Murray. Sorry. Lose my marbles. So, Matt Irwin, you liked what you saw? Very simple, defensive-minded guy?
Yeah, because you know what? He's so surrounded with, you know, the offensive freewheeling guys that I think he stood out because of just being stay-at-home, doing his thing, keeping his game simple, doing it. And Will Borgen was that guy too. You know, maybe that's why he's sticking around on the taxi squad. He's got the size. He's got a little more experience. But just played that simple game where he didn't get himself in that jackpot. A lot of times we talk about guys trying to do too much, trying to be like everybody else out there. No, do your thing. Do what you're good at. Don't worry about what somebody else has done. Don't compare
Will we see Will Borgen in this lineup to try and, you know, win a position?
I say he gets an opportunity. He'll get an opportunity at some point. I think a guy like Matt Irwin and Will Borgen could be easily switched night to night, wherever it may be. You know, you hope Jake McCabe stays healthy. But, you know, to fill in Colin Miller. Hey, Colin Miller was Jeff Skinner last year. You know, Colin Miller was that guy that, you know, Ralph's got to learn how to play the game. Got to learn how to play what we want. And obviously, he's done that. And he started getting a little more by the end of the year. And now we don't hear anything about him, which is good, because that means he's doing his job.
Who's the Sabres' best skating defenseman?
Wow.
I think a lot of people would. Here's the thing, though. Here's the interesting side to my question, though.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would assume Darlene.
Why would you assume that?
I think they would assume that because if they don't necessarily watch him as often, they probably would assume a guy that produces points and can move the puck, and he's very elusive when you see his highlights. But I think because he does it a lot,
Petey, he stands out because he does it a lot. You know, He's always taking the puck and going. So everybody's like, oh, he's a great skater because he kicks the puck and he's got confidence to go and do it. That doesn't mean he's the best.
I read somewhere someone referred to his skating as average.
Well, I don't know about that. If his skating was average, what were we?
Different time.
I don't know. I look, Brandon Montour is a heck of a skater.
I would say Brandon Montour is probably the best skater that we have on defense. Like you said, Rob, Yoki Haru is very smooth, very nice skater. I don't see Rasmus Dahlin as an elite skater. I see him as a very smooth skater. He's not fast. I think he's very average when it comes to speed. When it comes to elusiveness, I think he's as good as you're going to get in the National Hockey League. When you're talking about being elusive with the puck and have almost like he's got some type of, like, it's almost like he doesn't have a spine. He can move and twist with that puck better than most defensemen in the National Hockey League. Here's the thing. He doesn't skate like Miro Heiskanen from Dallas. Miro Heiskanen is a speedster. He's all about speed. He's got wheels to burn. He's very quick.
Or that huge Vancouver.
Rasmus Dahlin reminds me more of a Nicholas Lindstrom type skater. You look at Nicholas Lindstrom, you would have never in a million years said that Nicholas Lindstrom was an elite skater as a defenseman. What he was he was smarter than everybody else on the ice. He knew how to move the puck. He knew how to defend. He knew how to play his game. He never led the rush. Never, ever, ever. There's 1,500 games of Nicholas Lindstrom right now. Go and show me one clip where he led the rush. Never. He was a puck distributor, and he moved up behind those elite forwards in Detroit, and that's how he created the offense from the back end. And Rasmus Dahlin, he doesn't have to be the fastest skater in the league. He doesn't have to be the speedster. He moves the puck better than most defensemen in the league.
And that's where all the eyes are on. Isn't it amazing? That's who was it last week that said their eyes? Was it Elliott or Dregs that said their eyes are on Dahlin this year to take that step to the next level? I can't remember who it was, but it was one of our either our Thursday or Friday.
I would say there's a ton of people out there thinking that.
Sabres specifically, right? Like, is it Canada? Yeah. Well, that's the thing, though, is like, how many years did it take guys like Hedman? And they had Stamkos. They had other.
Hedman's a couple years.
Hedman was like 6 or 7 years before he had his coming out party. He was a solid 6 years in this league before he had good numbers. But I mean, before he exploded into one of the best, it was his 6th or 7th year. And he was a number 2 overall. And I don't know if expectations change now because the league's getting younger or what, but I just feel like there's still.
What does Rasmus Dahlin need to do to make the next step? What does he need to do to be, in everyone's eyes, the guy that we took first overall in the NHL draft and that people say, yes, he's the real deal? And I'm not saying that they're not saying that now, but what is the next progression at 20 years old?
Do you have an answer to that?
Of course I do.
Okay.
Well, you have an answer? I want you to answer it. I asked you guys the question, well, what your thoughts are.
Well, guess what? You're going to tell us after the break. Brother, Instigators, WGR, Sports Radio 550. I'm still going to tell you my only letdown. Coming up at 11:10, John Liu from TSN in Montreal will find out what's going on north of the border with the North Division and up in Canada and Montreal Canadiens. And also, how tough is the Sabres division? How tough is this division? We'll talk more about that because people are saying it's the toughest division. We'll be right back.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Hey, River. Instigators, WGR Sports Radio 550. You said at the break, what does Rasmus Dahlin have to do to get to the next level? You were asking us, but we're going to let you answer.
No, I want you guys to answer. That's the whole reason I asked. Like, when you think of Rasmus Dahlin, we've all watched him. We've all watched his progression and development from an 18-year-old to a 19-year-old. He's put up some pretty impressive points for a young man, 44 in his first year, which is insane. Then he followed it up with a 40-point season and a shortened. He was on pace for 55 points last year as a defenseman. I guess my question is, everybody's looking to see when's the coming out party. Have we seen the Dahlin that we can expect for 10 plus years? You know,
no, I think Rimsey just has to keep going on the progression he's on. Just keep making those strides each year.
Yep.
Just each year getting that little bit better, a little bit stronger. Able to play, you know, a little bit. I'm not saying he doesn't play hard. I'm just saying have the energy that the at game 56 as he does at game 1. All those things come with maturity. And still be able to log the ice time that they're going to be looking at him. They're going to be leaning on him for taking a little more ice time. So just continue the progression he's on, and he's going to get there.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think the one thing for me is it's not like he has to change something or we're going to see something miraculously happen with Rasmus Dahlin. I think he's there. I think he's played very well in his first 2 years. I look for him to be in a situation where he's much more familiar with the league, the players that he plays against, and I look for Rasmus Dahlin to take a bigger role in the minutes that he plays, in the key moments of the game. You know, when we talk about a guy that has exploded onto the scenes in Dallas and Miro Heiskanen, Miro Heiskanen is a player that they're playing in every situation. They're playing him on the power play. They're playing him on the penalty kill. They're playing him at the end of games. If they have to lock down a game, Miro Heiskanen is on the ice for the key moments. And I think that's kind of where Rasmus Dahlin is going to try and continue to build. We need Rasmus Dahlin to be a guy that's not playing 19 minutes a game like he did last year. We need him to move up to the 23-minute-a-night player that we can count on each and every night. We know we're going to get the offense from him, but can he stabilize the confidence from the coaching staff that when we need to lock things down, that he's going to be a key member of that defense moving forward. And this takes time. He's still a super young guy, but I'd like to see him take a step playing key moments, key minutes of the game.
You know what I like most about him? I think to add to everything and all the hoopla about how good he is and skilled and talented and all that stuff, I like that he's not afraid. And we're just watching highlights with him here. And we're going to be back on TV next week, ladies and gentlemen, so you can see all these highlights. But he's not afraid to take the body. He's not afraid to finish a guy. He's not afraid to hit. And, I mean, he's not going out of his way to look for a big bone-crushing hit. But we've seen him throw his body around. He's not shy. And that's why, you know, when everyone talks about him putting weight on and stuff like that, I think that's where it comes in a little more beneficial in terms of physical.
Yeah, and
he's going to get bumped around in this division. We're going to talk about how tough this division is, but you'll tell me what.
Yeah, you know, listen, I love what you're saying, and I love my defense to play physical and to have a little bit of an edge. I hate to say it, though. He's one guy that I don't want banging and crashing. Oh, my God.
Make up your mind, would you?
No, it's made up, and you understand what I'm saying.
He's not a guy that jumps ship on his own opinion more than you.
That is totally BS right now. I'll tell you that right now. I love my defensemen to play with a little bit of jam. I love my defensemen to play with some physicality. But there's certain players that I don't need Rasmus Dahlin going out and making the big body check on these guys.
I didn't say big body check. I said eliminate along the wall. Like, he'll get in front of big bodies. Like, if Josh Anderson's coming down the boards, right winger, okay, let's paint this picture. And Dahlin's angling him off, and Josh Anderson's getting down to about the hash marks. And Dahlin just throws his hip into him and eliminates him from the puck, and the puck continues in the corner, and Josh Anderson's feet stop moving. That's a good play for me by Dahlin. That's what I talk about, physicality. That's all I'm looking for. I'm not looking for him to go and literally try to use his shoulder to eliminate a guy at center ice. Not at all.
He's going to have to be ready this year too, playing teams as much as you are, that they're going to concentrate on him. He's going to have a target on his back every night because they're going in. Let's wear this guy down. Jack will have a target on his back. These guys, they'll pick and they will attack them. And in the past couple of years when that has happened, sometimes our guys have had a little bit of a challenge with that. So they better be ready for that this year from day one, because they're going to be targeted.
There's your warning. Rob Ray.
No, I'm just saying, if you watch, you know, they're going to waste their time.
That young man has had a target on his back since he was a kid. Jack Eichel has had a target on his back. These guys grow up with targets on their back.
You know what, Riz? When you're playing a team twice a year, three times a year, whatever, you know, you got time in between. But when it comes in back-to-back situation, when you got Tommy Wilson coming and leaning on you a few times every night for the next two games in a row, you got to be ready for that. Yep. Let's be honest. You got to be ready for it, and you're going to be able to have to handle it.
Is there going to be a guy more hungry than Tom Wilson to go out and
I love Tom Wilson.
Make his presence known. Who doesn't love Tom Wilson except love for the guys Tom that are Wilson. Cutting through the middle. All right, Instigators, we'll be right back. 11:10 or a little bit after, John Liu from TSN in Montreal. We'll talk about what's going on up in the Canadian division. And we'll talk about the difficulty of the Sabres division. But first, I'm telling you, the first thing I'm going to mention when we come back, my only letdown about the Sabres season this year. And you might not be surprised. Stick around, more to come. Instigators, WGR Sports Radio 550.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.